Father, thank you so much that we can be in your presence. And Father, I don't know what you're going to do, but I know it's big. I know it's big. There's so many women that are hurting, that are frustrated. They don't know what to do. But Father, I know that you're going to show up for them these next 2 days. I know that you are. And some of you, you're doing just fine. You're doing just fine. But God's going to tap on your shoulder so that you can go help someone else. So be bold. Be bold about it. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. If He wants to have a word through you, just open up and give it. Okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just lift up this conference to you for this weekend. Father, I thank you for what you've already started. And Father, I thank you that the lips of every single one that's speaking, Father, what they say will only be coming from you. From you, Father. Father, you showed my husband and I years and years ago that you want a change in this nation. You want a change in this nation. That this nation is to be a light to the continent. But Father, that starts with us. Us that know you and believe in you. And lean on you. And Father, I believe that tonight is a new beginning for many who have gone astray. And Father, I thank you that you bring them back to you. And those that haven't been bold will learn to speak out. Those who are weary will be strengthened, Father. Whatever is needed, Father, we just thank you right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. 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 So, I forgot to bring a little thing. That'll work. I'm so tall. I can't do this. Yeah. So it's so great seeing everyone, and I really felt led by this just from God when I was writing these the last few weeks, but that I just wanted to talk a little bit about my year last year, just for the beginning, and then we're going to move on. So I missed Living Free last year because at the very beginning of the year, it was at the end of February, I got diagnosed with cancer. And so I ended up being in America for 9 months. It was really weird because Africa's my home. But it was a good year, and it was a yucky year, and it's all mixed up together. And so I want to just start off by saying thank you from the depth of my heart. I really didn't imagine ever that this would happen, but usually every year, and you'll hear this later, we take up an offering and we give it to Rhema. And apparently last year they gave it to me. And I'll tell you where it went to. It went to Walker so he could fly over back and forth and back and forth. But it was just so generous. And I didn't talk about it, but when I got back, because I thought, no, they're not the Living Free ladies. These are the Living Free ladies. So I just want to say thank you all very, very much. He was able to fly back and forth over the time 6 times. And boy, did I need him. I really did. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in February. And, okay, I already said that. So while I was going through that, I had a lot of thoughts. I had a lot of emotions. I had feelings. Things that were presented to me in very different streams. The first one was having chemo and my hair falling out in the shower and me looking down and going, whoa, that's a lot of hair down there. Kind of freaked me out. I don't know if you were with me then, Mom, when that happened, because we were down at the lake. Walker had done a little lake house so the kids could come and my parents, and I think that's when it started. So chemo, hair loss, surgery, big weight loss. Most of it's come back. I'm so happy. May not look like it, but most of it's come back. I went down 2 sizes, really. It was bad. Feeling like I was being a burden to others. I felt like that most of the year. because I love to serve and help people and do that. And and Walker's like, sit down, whatever. Most days my body was yelling at me, and it was giving me signals of headaches and stomach ache and nausea and vomiting all over the place, diarrhea all over the place, memory loss. I mean, it was awful. It was just awful. If y'all know me, I'm picky about food. I don't eat very many things. I'm just very picky, unlike anyone else in my family. But the food, it tasted awful. Just everything, everything I liked tastes awful. It was either metallic or like a cardboard, really. And it was just awful. And so it would either go up or out, right? So it was not good. And Walker and I had decided, and I think it was after my first chemo, if I remember, that my son was graduating from medical school. And I'm like, I will not miss that, hair or no hair. I'm not going to miss that, right? And we decided I shouldn't fly because COVID was going on, and I didn't, if I got COVID, they wouldn't keep doing chemo. So I had to be very protective. So we decided to drive, and we took 2 days, and we're going along, and we stop at a hotel, and he's decided what I'm going to eat for dinner. And I was like, Walker. And then he brings it back to the motel, and it just didn't smell good. And then he put something in my mouth and got all over him. It was really yuck. But then we got there, and here's the other thing. I had finally given in to order a wig. Now, I know y'all wear them all the time. And if you ever think that I don't know who you are, it's because you changed your hair. That's the truth. It's the truth. I don't recognize you with different hair. So my sister had helped me find this wig, but then I had to get the right color, which is not this color now. It's my old color. And the lady said, well, I can't get it to you on time, but where did you say you're going? I said, we're driving from Austin to Nashville. And she said, okay, I'll send it to your son. So I get there, and my hair's falling out more and more and more. And so I was so excited when we finally got there and went to his apartment where he was. And he said, Mom, your box came. And I said, that's great. So I open it up. I didn't read it. I opened it up, and it's like, that's not a wig. And it was the neighbor's box. So I was literally there with no wig and hair falling out. And I literally got down on my knees and I said, God, you're going to have to help me do my hair. It was still enough that sometimes I could get it right, but sometimes I couldn't. And so for 2 days, I had to do that. But then the night of graduation, we went out to dinner, and Hannah's family, he's married to Hannah, and she graduated too. So their family's there, our family's there. We love Mexican food. They've got a great place there. And what do as I walk in the door? I vomit again. And Tim's outside, my new doctor child, putting his hands on me, praying for me, and saying, Mom, I'm going to get you some plastic silverware. It's not really silver, right? So that you can eat a little bit. So, but it was awful. It was really awful. But through all of that, my heart, the whole time, from the day it was diagnosed, my heart was at peace. It was so at peace. My mind wasn't racing about death. It wasn't racing about how my family would be without me, or me without them, whatever, or if I would ever return to Zambia. I knew I'd come back. I realized that the feelings of peace came from God, and He's always good, and He's always faithful, and He always does what He promises. And I believe that. My mind was using the truth that I had been depositing within me. I'm 57, but for 50 years, because I got saved when I was 7. And all of this stuff was in me, and so I didn't have to worry, okay? I just hurt. So many times people misquote Jesus when they say the truth will set you free. You know why you're missing it? It's as if a newspaper was on your desk or a Bible on your shelf will bring you freedom. But He said, you shall know the truth, and then He will set you free. Does that make sense? Okay, so that's an important part of tonight. It's only the truth that you know that brings freedom. And I realized there was some truth that I knew from his word, and I actually knew more than I thought I knew, because it just welled up in me. And I remembered all these things as I was going through all this. It kind of freaked me out, and then I couldn't make those feelings disappear, but there was something stronger and real in the room. Many people would write and ask, Walker set up this WhatsApp thing, and I'll give you all truth tonight about that. And I said, what do you think you're doing? Like, I'm going to write back to every single person in our church that keeps writing and writing and writing. And I handed him the phone back because he got a new, he put it on an old phone. And I said, you're going to have to do that. I don't even have the energy hardly to get out of bed. You're going to have to. So most of the times, by the way, it was him or Teresa did some. And they started passing it around for real. Yeah. Because I was just like, I can't do that. Okay, but a lot of people would say to me, when I did have it a few times, they would say, how are you feeling? And in the beginning, I was saying, well, I don't feel so great. And then all of a sudden, I was like, I'm not going to say that to y'all anymore. Because what does the word say? So I just dismissed that question. And there were a few people I said, please don't ask me that anymore. That's not good for me. Because I feel like I can't say the curse word, but you know, I'm serious. That's how I really felt. And I also knew that those that come to church, every Sunday Walker would say, yeah, she just had her chemo and she's doing great. And I really was when he was saying it, but every Sunday afternoon my time, that's when it all started. After the chemo on Wednesday, Sunday was the worst day. But he wasn't lying, because at that point I wasn't quite yet. All right, the Wednesday before Living Free 2021, so that's 2 years ago, so don't get that mixed up, there was a storm at our church. It was an afternoon, and most of our staff were all here working. From the east, a dark, dark sky came. We watched as the trees out front were whipped around the grass. The big tree in the middle that y'all can still see now, it's like a cement thing now. It snapped and it crashed, and then the front windows, they were bulging until they exploded. It was quite a sight, right? Staff that were here. It was scary, you know? But the steel pillars and the frame of the building held its ground. It didn't crack or sway. And why? The steel pillars are built upon compacted ground. And stone and steel that goes deep beneath the surface, it's built to withstand a storm bigger than what we saw, and that's why things were held up, okay? And that's what God wants our life to be built on. And just for a minute, again, just pause, just for yourself, just for 15 seconds. Do you have a heavy structure holding you up? How much has been put in you? Life blows in many feelings. Relationships with men that come and go. Parents that die. My dad died last year when I was home. And you know what? I was sad for only 3 days, because I realized I got half 9 or 8 months. 8 months with my dad this year. And you know who was with my last chemo starting that Sunday? It was my dad. We didn't know he was going to die. Mom was supposed to come, but she got she was close to someone that had COVID, and so I was like, no, you can't come. Dad's going to have to come, because my sister went on a holiday. Life blows in many feelings. Parents that die, friends, kids. Probably all of us lost some friends during COVID. The answers are to build your life on God's truth and not to manage your feelings with drinking or sexual escapades or extravagant holidays and the high of buying new clothes and handbags. Y'all are hearing me, right? We find that stability only through the truth of God's word. So let's don't be running to those things. Let's don't do that. In 20 years, I've watched some of you. January's 20 years that Walker and I have been here. And I've watched some of you, and you have withstood many storms. And I've seen ladies also whose lives crumble because someone tells them that their outfit's too tight and they can't serve at Miracle Life until they get that right in their life. It's true. And I could say many other things there too. They get offended and then they leave the church because we're asking them to dress appropriately. Yeah, it's sad. It's the truth of God, His Word, that sustains us and sees us through hard times. You might have said yes to Him, but not knowing and believing His truth, you'll remain fragile. And then anything that comes with you, with the wind, you just fall apart. And there's many women that do that. I was actually looking up if, when we talk about feelings, if women's, we always say that women's feelings are bigger than men's. Studies show that's not true. It's actually not true. They just might do it differently, but it's not true. Okay? So Paul referred to Christians in Corinth as carnal. Saved and born again, yes, but not stable. They weren't supposed to put that up yet, but that's my title. Okay? How long has that been up there? Since the beginning? Okay. Oh, well. So that's the title. We're going to talk about truth over feelings. So let's pray. Let's pray again. Father, I thank you for all these beautiful women that are here tonight that have come to grow, to know you better. I'm grateful, Father, that you will walk with each one of us and strengthen us during this conference. Father, you know each lady's heart and their minds and their comings and their goings. You know the truth about the things that we have done and what we have said. Help each of us stay away from the lies and deception of this world. Fill us with your truth, Father. Help us to walk in that. Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you, thank you, thank you for what you're going to do in each one tonight. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Okay, and really what you've got to do is just rely on him and trust his truth. Because he doesn't ever lie, right? He never lies. Okay, so let's get really started with this now, truth over feelings. Do y'all know what the shortest verse in the Bible is? Jesus wept. Jesus wept, right? John 11:35. And it's the shortest verse in the Bible and yet one of the most touching. It depicts a Savior full of emotion. We don't have a God who's distant from us. He knows how we feel and he can identify with our hurt. He can identify with our pain. He can identify with our sorrow if we'll let him. Okay? That part has to happen. We have to let him. Hebrews 2:17-18 says, "For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted." Anyone in here ever been tempted? Right? All of us. All of us. But how do you respond? How do you respond to that? The Bible says that Jesus experienced everything. Everything that we have or will have, yet without sin. Right? And we're supposed to be many me's of Christ. So when that comes to us, what do? We don't accept it. We don't give in to it. We don't let it control us, right? Jesus felt all of our emotions, confusion, anger, joy, sadness, fear, disgust, dread, loneliness, peace, unfulfilled desires, disappointment, and I can go on and on and on, right? And there's a great comfort in all that. But too often we approach life with the feeling that no one understands. No one really knows. They're not in my shoes. That's a lie. You're probably sitting next to someone right now who has been through what you've been through. So let's stop dismissing that. Let's get bold and let's talk about our issues with others. Jesus with skin on, if you were here years ago, right? We need people in our life that love Jesus just like we do so that we can get through our things and not be embarrassed about them. We've got to become free. That's living free again, right? But God does, and his understanding has no limit, none at all. And there are Jesus with skin on people who have no limit as well. For you. Psalm 147:5 says, "Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is above measure." So if you're ever blaming God on something that's happened to you, oh, you don't know. You don't know God. If you're blaming him because your child died, if you're blaming him because your husband slept with someone, if you're blaming him because you slept with someone you shouldn't have been with, how can you blame him? You said yes. It's because of this that he can comfort us. He gets what we're going through. He gets it because Jesus experienced it. He just didn't give in to it. All right? And his empathy towards us is perfect. It's perfect. Feelings matter. They really do. I think about this all the time when I talk about feelings. If the stovetop was on and you put your finger on it and we didn't have feelings, none of us would have fingers. Right? So feelings, we need them. We need feelings. We've just got to go the right way with them, all right? God has feelings too. And our feelings are part of being created in the image of God. They are the core piece of who we are, and they also bring color to life. Right? Y'all know, y'all have people in your lives that are really chatty big time, like Teresai. That's why she speaks up here all the time. And she's in our office, and right? But she's colorful, right? And you get drawn to people like that. But we're all different. But don't make this mistake. Too many of us stumble when we allow our feelings to determine action and define truth. Let me say that again. Too many of us stumble when we allow our feelings to determine action or define our truth. This is not in my notes, but I'm just going to say it to you. Mom, was it two nights ago that I was frazzled? Yeah. And it was awful. Yeah, it really was. It was really awful. And it was something that is so... petty. I don't even remember exactly what it was, to be honest. I don't. But it was just so, I know what it was, but I'm not going to say it to you. It would get a staff person mad. But if you're in here and I say it, you really shouldn't, because we're talking about this and your feelings shouldn't be hurt. So I'm not going to say it anyway. But it was about something that I really needed done that day. And then when I finally got something, it was just unusable. And so then I had to stay up for 2 hours to remedy it. It had nothing to do with this conference at all. It was something for the future, but I needed it that day. And I really did. And I got up from the kitchen table because Walker was trying to console me. And I went to my bedroom and I was just like, I'm just going to go to bed. And then he lovingly comes in and says, "Haley, it's not, we're going to get it done." And so then I did stay up and got it done. So I just had to do it myself. Okay. So see, even I have feelings that get out of control sometimes. Okay. Right? Does everyone do that sometimes? Thank you for helping me. Thanks. Alice, do you ever do that? Okay. I've never seen her get frazzled. I haven't. Never. All right. All right, too many believers live in a continuous state of discouragement. One reason is that we let our feelings act as truth. Y'all hear that? We take what we're feeling and we're telling ourselves that is the truth. But that's not so. It's not so. So let's talk about feelings. Feelings are a gift from God. Feelings are a gift from God. Being able to express our feelings is a part of being human because we've been made in His image again. The Bible validates feelings. God has them, and we are created in His image to have them as well. The Bible shows God having joy, regret, sadness, anger, and more. And He relates to His created people. God gave us feelings to prompt us to do something. Matthew 22:37-39 says that all commandments hang upon a... Is that the right one? Yep. Okay, all the commandments hang upon loving God and loving others. Having feelings and emotions helps us live in healthy relationships and stay connected to God and others. Number two, feelings are wired in all of us. They're wired. As women, we have the highs of joy and celebration and the sadness of grief. God designed feelings as indicators that are quite strong and convincing. They tell us about things from our physical feelings in the body, as well as the internal feelings of your soul. Now, last year when I was going through chemo as well, I had already signed up to have a coach in my life for a year. And it was supposed to start in January, and it got delayed. And God really clearly told me what I was to do and not to do when I was going to be in the States. And He said, when Greg gets ready for this coaching program to start, I want you to do that. And then there were some other things He told me not to do. And I forgot why I was just saying that, so hold on just a second. They talk about the feelings in our soul. Yeah, so one of the first things I did with Greg, so I would meet with him monthly by myself, and then I'd meet monthly with a team of six other people. And so when we got started, he said to me, he said, Haley, what is it, you know, this is just the one-on-one one. He said, what is it that you want to grow in this year? And I said, well, Greg, I've got a craziness going on right now because I'm not doing my normal stuff. God told me not to work for here while I was gone, and not even to get on video to do help or do don't do that. So I was out of the, I didn't know anything that was going on. Walker was very secretive about everything except the good stuff. That was all good, right? So, but I just said to him, I said, you know what, Greg, I've had this problem for so many years since I came to Zambia, and I'm a workaholic, and I've been to a counselor before to get some help for that. And I need to really understand why I work the way I do, but I also need to get help with my soul, because my soul would really get out of whack. And when my soul gets out of whack, it's not pretty. It's not pretty for anybody around me either. And so, interestingly enough, every time we talk, we'd bring that up, or we'd move on to something else, and he just wasn't able to help so far, you know. And my very last time with him, because I finished up again in May this year, or May, no, hold on one sec, but it was before I got back. That's all I remember. It was right before I got back. And I said to him again, I said, Greg, we still haven't solved the number one thing that I wanted to do. And all I remember is he, I don't even know what he said because it had nothing to do with it. But right when and what he said, whatever he said, it hit me. And I've told this to the church. So those who are here when I got back, I said this to y'all. But the biggest thing that happened to me was God reminded, I hung up with him and God just started talking to me. And I hung up. So, and I was talking to God and he said, Haley, do you remember, how many years ago? 20 plus years ago. We were living in South Africa. We knew we were going to move up here. And a wonderful pastor in America, John Nuzzo, we were at his church. They had been supporting us for years. And John looks at us and he says, what is it exactly that God wants y'all to do at that church? What do you feel he's showing you? And I answered him and Walker answered him. And then he put it all together. And he said, so what you're telling me is that God is asking y'all to raise up a church that's going to change a nation, that's going to bring light to the continent. Like we prayed earlier, I wasn't planning on even telling you about any of this or earlier, so maybe there's a reason for all this. And so when I remembered all that in my mind, then God spoke to me and he said, Haley, all of your, Mom can testify to this. I've always been a very responsible person, right? No, for real. I mean that, for real. When I asked Jesus in my heart, I wanted to follow God. I understood him. I understood it. I obeyed my parents. I got the least spankings in the four of us. It's true. One day I trashed my room so that mom wouldn't be on them so much. Yeah. So I was always responsible. So with this church, when things didn't work out right, I became Superwoman and came in and started doing everything. And got burned out so many times it wasn't even funny. And that's not healthy. But my feelings, which I thought were good, even today, right? I'm walking around because I didn't get as much information as I usually have. And we did change a couple of things, but I didn't touch them. Okay, but do you understand this, though? Feelings really, really are real. But we've also got to not be dysfunctional with them as well. Right? Okay. I guess God just wanted y'all to all know that. He designed our feelings as indicators. They tell us about things of our physical being. We feel joy, sadness, and grief. 1 Samuel 1:15-16. But Hannah answered, No, my Lord, I'm a woman troubled in spirit. I've not drunk wine or strong drink, but I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not think of your woman servant as a woman of no worth. I've been speaking out of much trouble and pain in my spirit. So she was talking to God about her troubles and her pain in her spirit. Have y'all ever done that? I feel like I was doing that so much. I lived in my sister's basement. It's a big, big basement. And I prayed more in those 9 months than 20 years. Not about cancer, because I already knew that was taken care of. We need to have our time with God. We need to talk to him about our troubles and our pains instead of spewing it out to someone who also takes offense to the same person that you're mad at. Don't do that. Really, don't do that. And if you do need to talk to a person, it needs to be a person that's still going to love them and tell you to keep loving them too. 2 Samuel 6:14-15. Wearing a linen, how do you say ephod? I don't know. Ephod? Ephod? Okay. David was dancing before the Lord with all his might while he and all Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. So we also experience happy feelings from creative pursuits. Now there was also a time, this wasn't in there either, there was also a time I was going to bed one night and I was hurting, like massively hurting. And I got in bed, and I don't know where y'all have been, but if you've ever been to the States with us for Kindle the Flame or another conference there, and it's happened here at this church a few times, but I have never in my life, I'm talking about speaking in tongues, but I'm laying in bed, ready to go to sleep. And I'm hurting, and I'm lifting up my arms, and I start just praying and thanking God for the day and for helping me get through. And all of a sudden, I start speaking in tongues in the basement, very black, all by myself, and I'm laughing at myself at the same time that I'm speaking in tongues because I'm like, I've heard about this, but I've never done this all on my own. And then, and I sat last night for about 20 minutes, and I said, God, would you remind me the song that I started singing? Because I can't remember it. And I can't remember it now. And I keep thinking it was head and shoulders, knees and toes. But yet I changed the words because I was hurting everywhere, and I was touching all over my body and calling myself healed everywhere. And because you can speak to your body. But it was in the tune of a song like that, something. I don't remember what it was. But He was with me. And it happened another time. Two times it happened last year. It was just weird to me, but it was just beautiful. Being alone with him in his presence. So we need to talk to him more with things like that. Ecclesiastes 2:24. So I decided there's nothing better than to enjoy food and drink, proper drink, please, and find work satisfaction in work. Let me say that again. And find work satisfaction in work. Let me just say it that way. That we have satisfaction in work. Do you love where you work? Even in your home. You know what? Y'all are going to find this really weird. I do have a maid. I love washing the dishes. Because I feel like I'm getting something done. I like to do things. I like to finish things. So when she's gone on the weekends, I do the dishes. But Walker cooks. So, but I like it. I like it. Kristen's staying with me right now. She's going to speak tomorrow. And they're like, I don't know. I'll come in and help you. I said, no, I like doing it. Let me do it. It gives me satisfaction to work, right? Solomon enjoyed pleasures in life, and we can enjoy... I didn't finish reading that. Sorry, but Solomon enjoyed pleasures in life, and we can enjoy pleasures in life. Not talking about praise and worship or soul winning and stuff like that, but just enjoying life. Do you take time to enjoy life? Walker and I now have there's a table in our sitting room, kind of. Round table, we always have a puzzle sitting on that table now. And sometimes if we go home early on a day or on the weekend, we just sit and fiddle with the puzzle. Just to be together. Just to enjoy life. I've got two board members that hold me accountable to having a day off. So, so now we do puzzles. All right? But that's what we need. We need to enjoy life. And I feel like so many people, it's just always, something's always wrong all over the place. Right? So we need to grow up so that we don't get affected by all this. Right? Let's go to Exodus 32:19. When they, Joshua and Moses, came near the camp, so they were up talking to God, and God had talked to Moses and said, you need to get down there real fast. They've built a golden calf, and they're praising him, basically, right? So Moses saw the calf and the dancing, and he burned with anger. He threw the stone tablets to the ground, smashing them at the foot of the mountain. Now, when I was reading this, it reminded me of me again. Here at church, it's like, you didn't do that right. One of our values is excellence. Go back and do it again. Now, I'm going to still keep saying that because that's what we're supposed to be doing. But we don't do things half-baked. Don't do things half-baked. And God got so mad. Let me read this to you. It's not up there because I just did this afternoon. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses. He said, I've seen these people, and indeed, it is a stiff-necked people. Let me alone that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them. That's how mad God got. That's scary. It is. So sometimes some of our feelings are what? Anger and resentment, right? Okay. I'm not telling you not to have those feelings. God had them. It's just what we do with them, right? 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. So we feel love because of God's great love. That's one of the best ones. Song of Solomon. This is a good one too. If you're married. If you're not married, put your fingers in your ears. You have ravished, this is the husband to the wife. You have ravished my heart, my spouse, my lover. Walker and I, we say, my lover. We started doing that years ago after we saw some show. You have ravished my heart with one look of your eyes, with one link of your necklace. How fair is your love, my spouse? How much better than wine is your love? And the scent of your perfume than all spices. So the husband was enlightened, enraptured, and feeling in love, right? That's another feeling. When was the last time you had it, though? And Terrace, I don't even think about it. All right. Next one. Okay, feelings. This is really what we've got to get into, is feelings that go wrong. Feelings that go wrong. So without biblical understanding, our feelings can be misused and become harmful. God made us emotional beings, and at times we may feel joy, excitement, passion. Other times we may feel sadness, sorrow, or discouragement. Feelings come to us all, but feelings don't always tell us the truth. Okay? They don't always tell us the truth. And feelings are not the facts. Okay? So when you wake up in the morning, some people wake up and they feel miserable, especially if you didn't have a good night's sleep. But then you get a cup of coffee. I always have my coffee before I talk to God. I do. Because I don't think He'd like me before I have my coffee. Now, Walker's not up yet, so there's no problem there about messing with his life. But I have my coffee first. But our feelings can change just like that, right? And that's what happened the other night with me. It was just like that. And this is really what even happened. I said to Walker, that thing that was sent, that's not what I need. So they spent 2 hours looking for that, and this is awful. And then he said, it's okay. Well, whatever. You just are not going to send it to that person. And I'm like, he doesn't care either. So that's when I stormed out. That's really why I stormed out, Mom. And she was sitting there going, I've got a great mom. All right. Feelings can change in an instant. The mistake we make is to let feelings determine our mood. Okay? And if you've got your little pink paper out, that might be the one you need to write down. I am not going to let feelings change my mood. But what are you going to do about it, right? We wake up and we feel the blahs, we get discouraged, we're offended by someone, and we get upset. We have a bad performance review and we feel self-pity. We go tell everybody else on staff, how did my supervisor do that to me? You know me better, right? Go tell them how nice and wonderful I am, you know, whatever. It's because we're allowing our feelings to rule us that we do this. So again, it's okay to have feelings, but what are you doing with them? What are you doing with them? You can't stop negative feelings from coming, but you can speak to your feelings. And I'm telling you, that's what I did most of last year. Between that and listening to Keith Moore's Healing School and talking to Jesus. There was one day I was hurting so much, and Mom and Dad, I was at my sister's, but Mom and Dad were 5 minutes away where they lived. They just rode over one day and say, "What, you brought ginger snaps and sour worm things because they're supposed to help with nausea." I cried just because I had feelings of my parents actually drove over here just to give me that stuff, you know. It was so precious, and then we spent the afternoon. It was great. Okay. You can't stop negative feelings from coming, but you can speak to your feelings. Tell them that they are not allowed to take control of your life. Don't let them take control of your life. Out of all of last year, the only time that Walker and I had any words with each other, I'm serious, out of 9 months, I had done 3 chemos. And we went down to Houston because they wanted to check me out. And as we were walking out, I got in the car and it hit me that I've got 3 more to go. And I started crying because I was like, oh my gosh, that's going to be hard. And And I started crying. It's kind of the same thing happened. So I get in the front seat. And he says, "Are you okay?" I said, "No, Walker, I've got to do this 3 more times. And it hurts harder every time." And he said, "Haley, it's okay. It's okay. You're just going to be fine." You know what I did? I didn't open the door. I climbed into the back seat and just sat there. Okay, see, I want y'all to know I'm human too, right? Right? Because I'm a person like you. But I acted like a baby. I did. And he was so sweet. He's just so sweet and loving. None of this is in my notes. So see, God wants me to tell you all my stuff. So which I'm fine. I really don't care what you think about me. So I really don't. Because I know I'm human like you. So just because you have a pastor title doesn't mean you're perfect. Y'all know that, okay? So get over that. Don't think that of people. All right. So let's see, where am I? You can't stop negative feelings from coming, but you can speak to them. That's what David did. All the time he did that. He had armies coming against him, people slandering him, and even his son was trying to take his throne. You can imagine how strong the negative feelings were, discouragement, anger, self-pity, when everything was going wrong. David chose to say in Psalm 118:24, there we go. "This is the day the Lord has made, and what are we going to do? Rejoice." Yeah. And we're going to rejoice. And you know what? Even when you don't feel like it, but you do it, it works. It really does. It works. The other thing Walker did for me was he made me a playlist, because I don't know how to do that type of stuff. And I literally every day that was going on too. And you talk about building yourself up. You know, these songs that they sang tonight, you know, the land of the living, you know, and it just pumps you up. So let's don't wait for Sunday services. You can have that in your own home. You can. David chose to say in Psalm, "This is the day that the Lord has made." He wasn't just being positive, but commanding his feelings. And you guys, I promise you, I've done that my whole life, spoken to my feelings. You need to line up with God. Lay down yourself, look to your Father. You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. And then my newer thing over the last 10 years is go tell a friend that knows you, that loves you, that can give you correction. And talk to God too, right? "You're not going to rule me. The feelings are not going to rule me." Okay. Number 4, feelings that have wrong responses. And here's a big one, is money that can buy happy feelings. Money that can buy happy feelings. Some of you women are the breadwinners in your home. You don't have to say anything. Just keep staring at me. Sometimes you are internally angry because your husband isn't pulling his weight. Not necessarily about money, but he's just letting you do everything. With money, you can buy happy feelings. You can get dressed up in your fancy clothes, go to ladies' night out, go on a holiday, buy nice handbags and expensive alcohol. Find experiences that make you feel good, soothing yourself. And if you're one of those ladies, repent tonight and change your ways, because it's not healthy. It's not healthy at all. And it's your way to, like, get away from him and feel good. And no, you need to sit with him and y'all need to have a talk. Ask God to help. The next one under feelings with wrong responses is shame. Shame. Shame binds us in despair, and it comes from our accuser, Satan. Zambia, if y'all get mad, that's your problem again. It's a nation filled with shame. That's what is said. And it is, because I've experienced it with so many people. But if you really know how much God loves you, despite where you are, and if you really know how much He loves you, you don't care what anybody else thinks about you. You just don't. You can say anything about me and I'll just, whatever. If that's what you believe, I'm sorry, but whatever. That's your problem. It's not mine. But so many people don't get help because you're filled with shame of either what you did or what happened to you. Oh no, but there's people that can help you. There's God that can help you. Don't stay there. Don't stay there. It's a form of extreme self-consciousness that results from negative self-critical feelings. It describes feelings of inadequacy created by internalized negative beliefs. So you're believing something that's not truth. I say this at Rhema all the time, and it still even it crazies my head to know that if I came down right now and shot Lomia with a gun in her chest, you know what? And I shouldn't have done that. She might have died even. But God still loves me. He still loves me. Now, He wants me to get my life right. But He still loves me. And how can we not forgive someone else when He's forgiven us? I don't get that either. And who's more important, what your family thinks about you or your Heavenly Father? See, He's so much bigger. It's a whole new family. This all includes personal insecurities, secret sins. If that's you, write that one down. There's a lot of that. There's a lot. A sense of not being good enough. It's a lie from hell. You are more than enough. God's got big things He wants you to do, but because you're wallowing in your feelings, it's not going to happen because you're blocking it. So what is shame? Someone who feels extremely self-conscious, self-critical, and embarrassed. Shame also involves fear of being judged, criticized, or rejected by others. And again, God wants you to get to a place where somebody spat something out to you and you just look at them and say, well, sorry you feel that way about me. I wish you really knew who I am. And I love me. You have the right to love yourself. You're God's child. You're His child. Studies show that people who habitually lie, let me tell you this too. Years ago, a lady that used to work for us, Pamela Prince, she did a survey for second-year students and said, "What has been the biggest? How did she word this? Do you remember?" She asked, "Oh, what is your greatest sin?" That's what she asked, and 90% of the students put down lying. Stop lying. Stop lying. And then you don't admit it because you might get fired because of what you did. Well, you know what? It's worth getting fired to share what you did. It's worth it because it'll change your life now. So the outcomes of that, this habitually lying and then roots of shame. Number one is defensiveness. And that means to escape from a difficult situation. To escape from a difficult situation. Another one is gossiping. That's so ugly too, you guys. And women love to do that. To circulate rumors maliciously. That's what that means. Isn't that awful? And you know what that does? It gets the attention off of you. That's why you're doing it. But if you loved yourself, you wouldn't be doing it. Next one is obscurity. Obscurity. To mislead by part truths. To mislead by part truths. Maliciousness. To deceive for personal gain. Okay? I don't know if I'm going to go off a little bit, but I just feel led to say this. If you're a mom in here that still has kids at home, I don't have kids at home anymore, but if you're a mom in here that still has kids at home, and maybe especially teenagers, recognize that as a parent, we pretty much start parenting the way our parents parented us. Unless, before you had your babies and whatever, you went to a parenting class and went, oh, my mom didn't do that well, and dad didn't do that right, and I should have done this, and right? But most of the time, we start doing it like our parents did, unless we know otherwise. Okay? And what our job is as parents, our number one job is that we are raising them up, because the Bible says for us to train up a child. I find out in Rhema that most parents don't train their children at all. Okay? And so they have to backtrack, and now that you're 45, you got to learn how to grow up. No, it's true. Okay? And Rhema helps with that. So I encourage you all to come to Rhema if you didn't grow up. And all the Rhema alumni and students say, yes, amen. Okay. But here's the thing, when we are raising our children, they do need consequences for actions, right? That has to happen. But at the same time that you do that, you also always end it with an I love you, I believe in you, how can I help you? We don't shame them. Let's go back to the shame thing. We don't shame them. And we don't make them feel ashamed. We want to help them to grow. And so there's an adjustment that needs to happen with us as parents. Here's another thing. When the parent's the one that messed up, have the, what's the right word? Have the humility to say sorry to your children. I don't know who that is over there, but I like them. But why can't we say sorry when we mess up as parents? That is just so off again. Let me even tell you what's happened with me and Jessica. So Timothy was kind of one of those children that was like a perfect child, kind of. Like he just didn't do things wrong, and very rare. I mean, it just didn't happen. Jessica was kind of a wild child. And, we were raising them up, and Jessica was daddy's little girl, and Tim was my son, and that's really how it came out most of the time. But as they got older, and Tim had gone off to school, and then Jessica was at home, and it really got tough with her. And some of it even started over at the Oasis when she was in children's church there under the thatch that we had, those of you who were back there. And she'd come after church and she'd say, I don't like being the child of a pastor because they always want me to pray every Sunday it messed around with her a lot. And so we just kept loving on her and say, well, Jessica, that's because the teacher, you know, just doesn't realize that. And we'll try to talk to the head to help and whatever. But as Jessica went off to college, she had some really big hurts inside of her. Some big things. And thankfully, I had gone through Search for Significance with her, and we had gone through Changes That Heal together and all these other things. And she had the maturity to say, Mom, you and I need, I'd like to talk to you about my childhood. And so we would get on calls, because obviously she's in America. And we'd get on calls, and I'd say, okay, so tell me something that mom messed up. Just ask. And she'd start talking. And sometimes she was right, sometimes she wasn't. She didn't have the full picture or whatever. But it was it has been. We still do it, but it's been a while because last year she didn't want to bring up anything. She came and loved on me a lot. That's what she did. And she's offered to take Gigi back after Christmas to her home because that's how Jess just loves people. But anyway, it's been a wonderful journey with her, being able for the two of us to talk through stuff. And Walker does it with her some too, but it's more because they were closer than we were. And it's just amazing who she has become. So it's never too late to tell your kids sorry. It's never too late. There was a man in Rhema, I think he was in the second class and doing this class that I love doing on personal growth and development. And this man, he said he was 64 years old back then. And he stood up in the middle of class while I was talking and he said, I was talking about still babying your children after they're like 20 and mommy still wants them at home. They should be farther than that. But he's 64, stands up, and he said, even to this day, all five of my children, I still tell them what to do. They're all married. And he said, and this weekend, I'm calling every single one of them, and I'm apologizing, and I'm going to tell them I'll never interfere with their wives or husbands anymore. And he did it. He did it. He just didn't know he didn't know you shouldn't do that. And I know it's culture, but it's not godly. It's not godly. She belongs to him. He doesn't belong to mommy. Okay, let's move on. That was for extra. Okay, number three. Another wrong response with this is sinful sexual relationships. Whether you're married, whether you're single. If you're married, you're not supposed to be sleeping with other men. You already know it, but there are many doing it. Single ladies, don't be pressured by your parents to go sleep with a man that you, because you're not married. And don't do it because you feel like it. Don't do that. Women who get involved with men in relationships contrary to God's word do this mainly, you know why? What's the word we're talking about? It makes you feel good. And it's a lie. It's a lie. It's not a truth. And you do think you feel good for a moment. And you keep on doing it. And there's married ladies in here doing it. Stop doing that. Get it right. Come get counseling. We're not going to share about you. We will help you. Don't be a sex addict that you have to have a man to make you feel good. I don't mind saying this openly. Walker and I did not have much sex last year. I said this in class at the beginning of the year. We didn't have much sex last year. I couldn't. He didn't come back and find a woman. He didn't masturbate. He didn't do any of that stuff. And I helped out when I could. But we couldn't have sex that much. So, but listen, I'm. If we can do it, y'all can do it. Okay. My sister always said this. Now I don't really think it's true, but I kind of like it. She said because we always talked about why did our sexual parts. Why does that all start happening when we're like 15 and 16 years old? And I think it's earlier now for some. Not me. I was a late bloomer. So, very late bloomer. But my sister, she literally thinks this. She said, I think God put that in males and females, but so that we can start being able to control ourselves. That we should be starting that at a young age. But here's again, if your parents don't, parents, not aunties and uncles, by the way. Parents talk to their kids, not aunties and uncles. I know you don't like that. You can do it. You can do it. I'll coach you if you need me to. Okay? But we've got to learn to control ourselves. And I actually did, there was another survey I did, and I can't remember where it was, but it was like 90%, or no, it was, maybe it was, anyway, it was something with youth that I, not this place, but something like 60%, 70% of the youth had already all had sex. Do y'all know that? And what are you doing about it? I'm really getting off my message. Okay, you're putting your feelings for that guy above your relationship with God and your husband. Hebrews 13:4 says, God judges the sexual immoral. You're using each other. Men are getting benefits, but so are you. You need to stop it. You need to pull out your pink card. Stop, right? Okay, number five, feelings aren't meant to be a compass for our life. Feelings direct us to investigate what is happening on our insides. Let me say that again, because I think this is the key with the feelings. Feelings direct us to investigate what's going on, what's happening in our insides. God will lead us into tough jobs and assignments. Feelings are strong and real, and they should never be ignored. They are not made to be above the truth or God, they're not made to be above the truth of God's word and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Like the other day that I went to the bedroom, it actually started before dinner because Walker was cooking dinner, and Mom, I think you were helping him, and I was in my study getting ready for one of these messages, and while I was sitting there, I just kept getting angrier and angrier about the thing that was sent to me that was just so below par that it wasn't even funny. It was like a, how would you say, what is the lowest, in golf, what is the lowest bogey thing that you can have? It's just, who would have sent that? You know? And then it's like, and now I've got to stay up. And it's just, no, it's wrong. Okay, but while I was sitting there, I was praying. I said, God, I'm acting like a baby right now, and I even know it, and I just can't stop. And then Walker said, it's time for dinner. And so I went there, and I don't even think they knew anything was wrong. And then he said something, and then I was like, oh. But it's not his fault. See, that's the other thing. That's what we do. Now it's all about him instead of me, right? Okay. That hasn't happened in a long time. Okay, number five, feelings aren't meant to be a compass for our life. Feelings direct us to investigate what's happening on our insides. Did I just say all that? Feelings are strong and real, should never be ignored, and they're not made to be above the truth of God's word. Psalm 86:11 says, David said, teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may live according to your truth. Grant me purity of heart so that I may honor you. I go to God and his truth, whether I feel mad or glad. Job's wife saw Job's sadness and pain and told him to quit. You will get bad advice from well-meaning people. You need to put it through the filter of the Word of God. We get bad advice from emotionally driven people who want to spare us from emotional pain. Don't go pamper someone. Walker didn't come to me, oh, I'm so sorry that you're hurting about that, Haley. That's, you know, No, that's not what I need. I need truth, not coddling in that scenario. And what we do so many times, again, let's say you got a bad review from your boss or something like that, and then you go tell your friend, and they're even on your team, and they know how lazy you are, right? And then they start talking to you and say, you know what? Maybe you should even go up higher and tell, because everybody knows how perfect you are. Don't do that. You need to have friends that are full of truth because they love you so much. And sometimes it does hurt, yeah. But that's who I want in my life. Our staff has the right to come to me for anything and even tell me off if they need to. And they do it sometimes. They don't tell me off, but they speak truth, and they say, "Hey, you didn't do or that," and then I've got to take ownership for that. Just because you're a leader doesn't mean you don't need correction from down. Okay, that's for another thing. Okay, number six. Feelings are helpful, but they're not your boss. Keep feelings in their proper place. Don't ever nullify the truth of God and the truth of what He says about you based on how you feel. Emotions and feelings are not the ultimate truth. The truth is not a what. The truth is a who. John 14:6. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. So who's the truth? Jesus. Jesus. And we see Him all throughout the Bible. And it's all truth. Start telling your feelings that they are not your boss. They're not your boss. Again, it was that night that I was singing that I can't remember the song. But no, I'm calling my body whole and healed. And I'm telling every place that hurts, I'm telling every single place that hurts, get out. I have authority over you. And you know what? By the end of that time of between speaking in tongues and talking to my body and whatever, I didn't have a pain in my body that night. Not a pain in my body. I went to sleep, slept like a baby. Still sleeping like a baby most of the time now. Okay, don't let your feelings dictate your life. Where God takes you will require... Because, listen, I just said here where God takes you. And the reason I'm saying this is everyone sitting in this room, there is a path for your life that God wants you on. Some of you are on it. Some of you are not. But there's a path that He has for you. And so wherever He's going to take you, it's going to require stability and consistency and not being moody and upset all the time. Because that's going to slow you down. And it's going to slow down what He needs you to do. People commonly seek to push down their feelings. Some people do that and others like ramp them up, right? But especially negative ones like grief or anger. However, God invites His children to pour their hearts into Him with prayer. Feelings are indicators to let us know what's happening in our body and our soul. But they are never to set the destination and to take the lead in us. God's truth should always come first. Amen? Okay. Now I'm going to shift over now. We're going to talk about truth. Okay. So again, the title was Truth Over Feelings. And there's right now in life, all over the world, I go back to America and I sometimes think, it might be hard for me to live there. I mean, it's just getting crazy over there, okay? But it happens here too. And we make feelings our truth because that's how I feel about it, you know? And maybe a friend's talking to you and said, I don't like the way you said that. Well, that's your problem because I know what I meant. You know, we don't need to talk like that. Okay, so the truth, what does the truth do? It sets us... free, sets us free. We live in a day where everybody thinks that they can have their own truth. And my truth is the right truth. And your truth is the right truth for you. That's not how it works. Feelings will lie to you, and they will take you emotionally hostage. God is God, and our emotions don't tell us the truth. They tell us how we feel. God will show you His truth and transform your feelings so they're in sync with His truth. God's designed us as His masterpiece, and we must live by His truth to reflect and live as the masterpiece He created us to be. It's not my truth. It's not your mama's truth. Can I say that again? Because don't tell your kids that. It's not your truth. It's only God's truth. John 8:31-32 says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed Him, 'If you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples.'" Okay, again, it's not just reading the word. It's abiding in the word. It's getting that word into our hearts, into our souls. "You are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And I said this earlier. I read and prayed more than I've done in 20 years last year. I had that time, and I was scared about coming back, that I would be missing all that. And I can't do what I did last year with God. I can't. But I'm still in the Word every morning, and I'm letting it come into me. And I am still being changed. But coming to church, if that's the only thing that you do with God all week, you're not eating enough. You're not eating enough to sustain your life. So you've got to get in a rhythm. And it's kind of like, for me, it's come hell or high water every morning. That's where I used to be a night owl. Now I'm not. So, but every morning. And when Walker comes in and starts yapping at me, it's like, no, go, 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 go. Get out, or I need to get up. Really, that's what needs to happen. But, okay, let me finish this verse. I forgot where I was. Let's just go to John 8:31-32. "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed Him, 'If you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples. You'll know the truth. The truth will set you free.' The truth sets you free, not what you feel, but what God says. He will not be set free if you don't believe. You will not be set free if you don't believe in God's word." And you can't just say out loud, "Yeah, I believe in His word." No. No. Do you really believe? Is your behavior showing your belief in His word? Because if you really do believe in His word, you're going to do what His word says. And in those moments where you're feeling differently and you're about to approach this instead of that, you got to get control of yourself. And the easiest way to do that is to let somebody else know. I always say this, if you can't tell someone else, it's still a secret between you and God. But when you can expose your yucky places and your good ones, that's true too. But when I can expose that to other people, like I'm doing with you tonight, oh, it sets me free even more. And again, if you judge me, that's your problem. But it really does. It helps to talk it through. Okay? Being loved by God is so much more powerful than any momentary fix of pleasure that you could ever feel. There was one time last year too. I've never told Walker this, and I don't remember when it was even. But I remember he was coming back into town, and I was like, "Oh, I actually wish he weren't coming this time." Because I was just basking in God's presence all the time. My sisters didn't see me for 3 days, and it was just like, man, that was so wonderful. And I love my husband. I love him. And he's coming because he wants to help me. But just being in God's presence and what He's speaking to me and my journals that got full. And I'm not a journaler either. But I did. Okay. John 14:6. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. He didn't say, I'm not the truth. He said, I am the truth. He's not just truth among many. He's the standard by which truth is measured. So where do we discover God's truth? Where is it revealed in your daily life? The answer is His Word. It's in His Word. The truth of God's character is revealed in the truth of His Word. And there's considerable sensitivity regarding truth. So what or who is really truth? And we get back to Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So do you believe that, though? Do you really believe it? Not many people sounds like you do. Are we still checking Him out? You know? If we're not encountering God's character and His Word, we're not going to live according to His truth. It's great that you come to church on Sunday again or here, but you've got to know God for yourself. You can't depend on a pastor or your spiritual friend. You've got to get in the Word for yourself. And if you don't understand it, come to Rhema. I'm serious. I'm really serious. Y'all, people come to Rhema that have been in church for years. And they're like, wow, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. In the Miracle Life vision statement, it says that God's Word is taught clearly, believed deeply, lived purposefully, and shared freely. John 17:17 says, make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. So again, if you're not in the Word, you're not going to know truth. And I don't know what church you go to, but I'd even say at this church. I'm just going to say it because I've never seen it happen, but when you finish that sermon, go home and go look things up for yourself. And did that pastor really say what the Bible said? Or did they not? Don't just believe it because they're standing behind a pulpit. John 17:17. I just read that. Yeah, okay. Don't make this mistake. Too often when we stumble, we allow our feelings to determine action or we define truth. Too many believers live in a continuous discouragement that we let our feelings act as truth. And then you might even say to someone, I don't feel close to God. Okay? And for you, right now, that's a truth. I don't feel close to Him. I think you've got to ask yourself the question, why don't you feel close to Him? He's not left you. He's not left you. But have you walked away? And the simple answer is yes, you've walked away if you're not feeling close to Him. And maybe it's something you've done, or maybe it's something you're thinking about, or whatever. But just start talking to Him and let Him know. I don't feel close to you, and I know it's because of me. It's never because of Him. Stop pointing your finger at Him. It's never Him. And just start talking to Him. And tell Him, yeah, I messed up really bad over here, or I did this over there, or whatever. And then quiet your heart, and He'll talk to you. And He does. He does that. Go find a friend that can hear from God and sit with them and see if they can even help with something like that. The fact that we don't feel close to Him doesn't change the fact that He is very close to us. He sticks closer than a brother. Nothing can separate us from His love and daily concern for every detail of our life. I don't know if y'all have ever done this, but I have. I actually did it today. So my fingernails still, still break off because of chemo. It's a thing that just still happens. And so I don't like clippers either. I usually use scissors. But I saw walkers and I picked them up and I started clipping. I'm like, that's all going on the floor, but I don't have time to pick it up. Okay, right? Okay, but we all do stuff like that, but it's like, I shouldn't have even done that. We just shouldn't do stuff like that, right? What's 3 more seconds to go to the trash can? So when I get home tonight, I'll pick them up. I really want to be real with y'all. I'm serious. We really, because we're real people. All right, Romans 8, I think that's where we are. Romans 8, 38 to 39. Yes, good. Okay, for I'm sure that neither death nor life nor angels. Mama, you don't go home and tell Walker all this stuff. I will do it. For I am sure they get along really well, you know, so neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And you know, there's some of you right now already sitting, and this is not the end of my sermon, but there's some of you sitting here right now and you're like, oh my gosh, I really don't know God and I'm really far away from God. And I said, I don't even know why I'm here tonight. And I don't even know if God will take me back. Oh no, He loves you. He loves you. And again, it's like, okay, 99.9% of parents, we love our kids even when they mess up. We still love them. We want them to grow out of things, but we still love them. Parents that push their kids away from you. I've heard so many yucky stories of young men being stripped down when they did something naughty and then sent outside in the yard for the night. I can't imagine doing something like that with my son. Yeah, it's not a funny thing either. That's not how you treat your kids. They do need to get what's it called? Discipline. Yes, I love that word. They need discipline, but they also need to know you still love them. Yeah, and you don't spank them so hard that they're bleeding on their bottom. You don't do that. That's beating someone. And I don't know why I'm saying all this, but y'all need to get this right. And if your husband does it, you need to get him right. Okay. All right, so our natural tendency is to live under the control of our feelings. Instead, we must acknowledge our feelings, articulate them because they're real. Jesus made it clear that knowing the truth brings freedom to us. You know, and when we first started this conference, God gave me the words, living free. And I didn't even put this in alignment with that this is talking about a lot of freedom stuff, right? But I didn't even think about that till right now. But we've got to get in control of our free. We've got to get set free from our feelings. Keep having them, but don't be dysfunctional with them. The truth of God, of the gospel, the truth of His love for us, the truth of new life in Him. These aren't messages we need to hear just once. In order to be set free, we need to hear it over and over and over again. They're realities that we need to be reminded of over and over and over again. Your feelings might tell you, I'm broken. I don't have value. But the truth of the word says, I'm redeemed through Christ. I'm a new creation. I'm called and equipped to live for His glory. Your thoughts might say this to you, I can't do this. I don't know how to do that. I can't flourish in the face of trials, but the truth of God's word said, I have all I need in Christ. I have all I need. Everything you need is in Christ. Everything. And then He put Jesus with skin on for us too. But really, all you need is Christ. I can do exactly what He calls me to do through His strength. You can call on Him and He will answer and He'll help you. Your thoughts might say, I can never be free. I will always be in bondage to fear and anxiety. But the truth of God's word says it's for freedom. And this is our verse here. It's for freedom that Christ has set me free. His peace is possible in all circumstances. When the enemy tries to drag you down through lies, doubts, wayward thoughts, petition the Father to plant His truth deeper into your heart. The words you think impact how you talk, live, love, make decisions, and approach trials. Like when a trial comes, do you just run away from everyone? Or are you going to lean in, knowing that He's going to help you through? The good news is that God's Word has ultimate authority over any word and any thought. Maturing and growing as a Christian is desiring His truth and not designing our own truth. Okay? So if there's anything going on with you, you've got to ask yourself, are you leaning on Him? Are you going to try to fix it yourself? Are you going to go find the sharpest person that you know to, what are you doing about it? Okay, the way forward. Remember that the Bible acknowledges our feelings and guides us to not be ruled by them. So number one, there's a way for us to pause with raging feelings. There's a way for us to pause with raging feelings. We should always be aware and introspective with our feelings. Psalm 42:5 says, "Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in the Lord and I will praise Him." Can we do that? Yeah. Number two, we can't fake it until we make it. We can't do that. Going back to the lying, there are some good liars that can fake. But you can't fake it really until you make it. You can't do that. It's just setting you back when you do that. At the first Living Free conference, I preached on the Christian masquerade and about how we put on a front for people and then people don't really even know who we are. You might have been friends for 10 years and they never knew you. I've heard of stories like that even. I really have. It's scary. And I even remember when I first came here, and I think I've just kind of always been this way. I'm just me. Whether you like me, don't like me, if I'm too tall, too short, whatever. I'm just me. So I'm going to be me. But it was like everybody thought, who really is she? Oh, me. I'm just me. That's where you got to get to. You got to get to the real you and be you. Be you. Stop trying to be someone else. Girls, that you're desperate for marriage, don't start doing something that you normally don't do. I didn't like wearing makeup back in college. I still don't like it today. And I thought, well, if Walker wants to marry me, he's going to have to know the real me. And I didn't wear makeup. And he still loved me. Now I put it on sometimes. Okay, but do you hear me? Stop faking things to get a man. Stop faking things to undermine your supervisor so that you don't get in trouble. Don't do those things. Be honest. Be real. Be who you are. I promise you, you're more lovable that way. I promise you. So it's not about pretending to, but taking our real heart to the Lord and other Christians where we can be transformed. Putting on our mask and faking it will not bring transformation. Number three, when your feelings control you, your feelings become your boss. They become your boss. Don't let them dictate your life. Where God is taking you will take stability and consistency from His Word. From His Word. So truth over feelings. Babies are killed in the womb because of shame. Babies get killed in the womb because of shame. Whether it's yourself that got yourself pregnant or whether it's your mama or your daddy that said, we're aborting that baby. It's shame. Parents are ashamed of what their daughter just did. And they make you kill your baby, you run away from that house. Because God can redeem you and that child. Don't let shame come before God's Word. Ever. Ever. Many times it's the Christian parents telling their daughters to do that. I've even heard of pastors who have done that with their Christian daughters. Why would you marry an unbeliever? Because your mama wants you to? Moms? Because some moms in our church have done that with their daughters. Because you want his money. It's awful. Why do many parents push for these things? It's shame. And I don't want shame, so I want her to be known for this and this and this. Okay. So if you're a mom of a daughter, your daughter gets pregnant out of wedlock, the feelings are overwhelming. What was she thinking? Maybe she was trying to please you, Mom. Because we hear that a lot. When are you going to give me babies? You know, people keep asking me that. When is your son going to give you a child? I said, when he's ready. It's not my baby. I'm serious. We need to stop all of this stuff. It's killing people, literally. It needs to be stopped. What will people say? So, yeah, let's say your daughter gets married and she's in law school. Well, oh my gosh, what will they say at law school? Who cares? That's not your problem. But encourage your daughter to move on. You as the mom want to hide this from everyone because you're shamed by your daughter. Okay, let's move on. All right, number four. Every morning, start the day with faith in God's word. Okay, and I'm not going to make that really. It doesn't have to be in the morning. It can be whenever you want to. I used to be the night owl, do it at night. Now I do it in the morning. But find time every day. Find time every day. I don't even look at my cell phone anymore in the morning until I've had my time with coffee and God. Okay, so coffee first, then God, while I'm drinking it. Okay. Father, thank you that it's going to be a great day. I trust you, God. I know you love me. I know you care about me. I know that you're going to help me get through everything I need to do at work today. Father, help my emotions today when something comes up that I get angry about on the inside. Whatever, right? Help me to help the staff and help me to show me people that need some love today. Okay? Spend your time with God. Jesus said you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So I'm just going to pray for you guys tonight and then we're going to end and then they're going to come up and... Are they going to do a song first? Yes, thanks. Okay, so let me just pray for y'all. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for your word. Father, this is a tough subject. It's a tough subject, Father, because our feelings, they feel so real. They feel so real, Father, sometimes. And yeah, you just want to go hide in a ditch or get down in a well. But Father, help us to trust you with our feelings. Help us to call on you, Father, such that we know that you're with us and you're going to help us through it. Help us to find our friends that are Jesus with skin on that we can talk to, and they're not going to shame us or blame us or ridicule us, but they'll still love us. Father, help us to change from the inside out so that we can have a fruitful life, so that these petty little things that come along, and then some giant ones, Father, but so that when these things do come along, Father, that we can get through them much quicker than in the past. The devil is the one who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And Father, I know that's happened in many lives in here. But we're going to resist that from now on, Father. And we're not going to give him the space to come and to do that with us. Father, as each of us lean into the Word of God, let the Word of God rightly divide between the soul and the spirit. Father, help every lady in this room to navigate truth and feelings. Help them to navigate well, Father. Father, we want to see your glory. We want to see your power in our lives. Help us here to be courageous, Father. Help us to be strong, Father. I ask you, Father, to help these ladies to stand in truth in such a way that the love of God is so evident that those around them see a difference within them. I want to just ask you guys right now, you ladies right now, if you already know that you've got a big, big problem with this, and that you're always putting your feelings above God's word, I think just put your hand up. Just be honest with God about it, and then I'm going to pray for you. And right now I'm seeing like 10 hands, and I know that's not everyone. I know it. There's so many of us that are struggling, and it takes us backwards. And then until you can own the godly truth, nothing's going to change. Nothing changes without us letting God know that, yeah, well, I know, I've got a problem with that. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, I lift up all of these ladies that have their hands up in the air right now. Father, I thank you for their courage to be able to put their hand up. And Father, I thank you that as they leave later on tonight, Father, I thank you, Lord, that there's going to be a new beginning within them, with their feelings, with their emotions, that Father, they will put the truth above their feelings and their emotions. Let me ask another question. How many of you in here know that you are often lying to others? By the way, I'm not looking at your faces, I'm just looking at arms. So it doesn't matter to me. But if you know that you are a perpetual liar, if you'd put up your hand. You know, sometimes people have lied so much, they don't even know they lie. So I want you to pause for just a second and talk to God about that. And ask him, God, am I a perpetual liar? And he's going to show you if you are. Perfect ladies that don't lie. I'm glad. It's really good. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you that, Father, even myself, I know that I've got to grow in all of this. And Father, I ask you to help me right now. Just like you told me when I, just before I came back here, about how I was taking control and not allowing others to take that responsibility. Even I myself, I've got to back off again and trust that others can handle it. So God, help me too. Father, help each one of us. Nombre shiki besondo rabasende, nombre shiki tanda soto rabasande, ne shiki.